I'm Hannah, and this is Graveyard Gathering, my own little writing graveyard where things are aged, knocked over, and imperfect. A place for my work as a necromancer to explore all of the things with death and great morbidity and, I'm sure, lots of grave mistakes. Come gather around. I'd love to talk to you. Spirit and I are having a sit-down. One of my writing projects is currently called The Demonic Sermons, and it is my play on the fact that everything that I would preach now is a blasphemy to my upbringing. But that's not the point of it. It's just kind of an interesting irony to me. I didn't come to these conclusions to be contrary-wise from my upbringing at all. I just ended up participating in things that, growing up, would have been completely taboo, and I'm at a very different comfort level and acceptance level at this point. But according to my upbringing, I have church folks that were like telling me that Dungeons and Dragons invites demons into my house. I mean, the bar for being a demonic heathen is low. All you gotta do is play Dungeons and Dragons and read Harry Potter. Forget all of the fact that, like, a whole bunch of these evangelicals, like, are pedophiles. Forget the fact that, like, so many giant Christian institutions that are very, very patriarchal are full of fucking sexual predators. There is something to be said, period, about patriarchal institutions, regardless of their religions and how often they are covers for sexual predators. It says something about the goals of the patriarchy. And I found myself confronting Spirit with my fury, and Spirit has been working with me. I'm working on a demonic sermon. I have a mentee that I am approaching some of this stuff with, but I'm also trying to do wider writings and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. The theme right now is winter time. We just had our first big snow here in Iowa, and I'm getting into the goddesses of witchcraft, winter, and death. There's a whole collection of goddesses with very similar similarities, but they are cross cultures, but have all of those energies. And this is their like high season. And the first stage of this new meditation that Spirit's guiding me through right now is all about sacred rage. The feminine rage, which is so frequently suppressed, when unleashed is really, is quite powerful. I think that's in part because so frequently it is suppressed. Spoiler alert, if you've seen The Witcher, or if you haven't seen The Witcher, I will try not to like give anything crazy, crazy big away. But there's a scene about unleashing fire and power through your hands. And I felt like that was a really good illustration of the sacred rage that I'm talking about. Sometimes there is righteous fury and it is just white hot. The types of energy that I like to bring into baneful workings and hexings that I am doing is that sacred rage. All of the things that I have done that have been very potent have been done with sacred rage. And when I can cultivate and call up my sacred rage, I can direct it. I talked in my last episode about different things that I want to do with magic and trying to conjure up and grasp my energy and see how it manifests and then direct it. So I thought about, you know, directing it into specifically working on like enchanting and making amulets and things. But I also, Spirit's directing me like, you have to work on your sacred rage and you have to figure out how you're going to control that. That wasn't what I asked to work on. They just flat out told me so. I asked to work on sparkly jewelry. I got work on your rage, your sacred rage, and don't suppress it. Start embracing it. Start directing it. Start figuring out how it works and don't be suppressing it anymore. And I'm like, okay. So I yanked out my cards because I've been clawing at Spirit, asking things, and I was shuffling and feeding my deck smoke and shuffling. And I was like, come on. Like, I wasn't getting nothing. I was like, come on, one card. Then all of a sudden, out drops what? Like seven cards? Thank you. And it laid them out into two piles, really. And I could see it. So I'm going to give you the reading that I just got for myself, because this is spiritual processing about these topics. I'm using the Marla Brooks second edition, the Witch's Oracle deck. And I just got it. And so it's new. I haven't used it very much. But I also make sure to like shuffle it. And I've used it a few times. Usually when I get a new deck, I spend a significant portion of time with it to get to know it. So the first three cards were Witch, which was the first card that came face up. Below it was the Triple Goddess, and below that was the Phoenix. And I think that's interesting because I've been meditating very specifically, very heavily, and journaling the fact that I've been meditating on Phoenix energy. I wrote that in my journal a couple of hours ago, that I have been doing this meditative practice that explodes me apart in shards, but I can put myself back together exactly the same every time. I know how to explode and then return my energy. And part of that explosion is that sacred rage. So the Witch feels like an affirmation. The Witch and the Triple Goddess cards. I wish I could show you because they're so pretty. Maybe I'll do like a TikTok with them or something.
I don't know.
So I'm not a Wiccan. And the Triple Goddess aspect is particularly more modern than most of what I work with. But I do like the fact that it's multiple goddesses and multiple aspects, because that's very specifically the energies that I'm working with right now are multiple goddesses, because they share similar aspects of winter, witchcraft, and death. I think it's extra interesting because winter is like the phoenix time. Everything dies because it rises back up in the spring. And this witch card, it's on the cover of the... Oh, it's not on the cover. It's similar to the cover. But the witch card, my husband saw it. I've pulled it before and he goes, oh, she looks like you. And I really love that. And she has a black cat. And I used to. And I just think that that's interestingly affirming, that I think I'm on the right track, because the energies that I'm pulling match the energies that I'm speaking out and seeking. So apparently this was an 8-card pull, and I didn't realize there was 5 other cards. It pulled the Ankh, the Labyrinth, Witch's Bottle, Hourglass, and Chalice. And I'm looking at these, and last night I had done a reading about a completely separate thing in my life, and I got the Labyrinth and the Hourglass in that reading. And I'm looking at this like, I even made sure when I put all of those cards back that they were not together. Witch's bottles are frequently about protection. And I'm seeing this maze that aligns with some other visions that I've had. The chalice and the Ankh remind me of fertility symbols. Pretty sure, because the chalice is like the virginal fertility symbol, where the athame is the... virginal, it's the feminine. The chalice is the feminine and the athame is the masculine. But the Ankh is also a fertility symbol. And then the hourglass, I'm like really not sure if I'm fucking running out of time or if I'm not patient enough to wait this fucking shit through. I'm gonna have to look that one up. When the hourglass appears in a reading, it is letting you know that time is of the essence. There is something you've been putting off that needs to be completed and you are quickly running out of time. Do not delay any longer. Fuck! Incantation. Like Alice's white rabbit, I'm late for a date. Time has flown by, and now it can't wait. No more stalling, now it's time to act. I must do it now, and that is a fact. What? What must I do now? There's a labyrinth and a witch's bottle and an Ankh and a chalice. What? What? Hey, look, another white truck just pulled up right next to me. And you know what's funny? When I got here, there was a white truck of a specific make and model with a person, with a dog, here. And I am really, finding this not cute. Universe, the fuck you mean? I'm supposed to be the reader. I can read for other people and it will be clear as a fucking bell. I will know what I need to say based on what I'm seeing most of the time. Occasionally I'll get something wonky and I'll look at, I refer to my guidebook or something. But when I'm reading for myself, I'm always referring to the guidebook and I'm looking at this stuff like, bah! I really want to trust my intuition and my discernment better. And I am reading for myself and feeling stupid lost. Sacred Rage is feeling so close. at the moment because I am furious. It's like I can't see the forest for all of the trees, but I don't know how to get up above the fucking tree line. I get it. There's all trees. Into the thick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. Huh. The gods have restored my faith and given me a boon and a providence. I had this little dinky lighter and it was completely out of juice. And I go searching and searching through my book bag. And lo and behold, a lighter I was not aware of was found within its depths. And I feel blessed. I am, in fact, away from home at the moment. At the park with my car. Our car is named QAR. And it's pronounced car, but it's the Queen Anne's Revenge because that's the name of a ship and she's a boat. And aside from the fact that this is probably how I will eventually be murdered, I really enjoy it here, but I end up talking to strangers with dogs. And my husband's like, you got to start carrying. You can't just keep talking to strange men because they have dogs. That is textbook how you get murdered. You are a white woman. Stop playing. And this is not supposed to be a true crime podcast of when I got murdered at the park. I find my peace of mind requires a lot of driving and journaling and screaming and singing and driving. But I can connect with spirit because I make that intentional time. And I sit here and I fucking pray and write. Boy, do I not feel like the motherfucker with all the sage wisdom right now. Man, the fucking hourglass card fell on the floor. Every other card stayed up, but the hourglass card fell on the floor. What? What? I'm running out of time. Okay, thank you. I don't know what I'm supposed to act on. I am the densest of motherfuckers. Like, I just don't have clarity. And that is abundantly frustrating. I have sat with my honored dead a lot this week. Holidays, I invite them to be close. And earlier this week, I could feel my grandfather next to me, just so strong and so in his power and so in this very bright light. And I'm looking at a bald eagle right now. He loved them. He loved bald eagles. And I could feel him so crystal clear, just ready to fight for me and protect me and be next to me and walk with me. And I'm sitting here like, what the fuck am I missing? What am I always missing? What is the big goddamn clue that I can't fucking see right in front of me? What do you want, spirit? Am I gonna scream out that I love her? What the fuck? I've done that. What action? I have to leave her the fuck alone. I have to respect boundaries, not breach them. The fuck? The fuck you mean? And if spirit has the audacity to be talking about the other one and time running out, some bridges gots to stay burned. And I've done been at the crossroads of this decision multiple times. And every time I have been at the crossroads of this decision in the last fucking however many 16 fucking months it's been or whatever, I have been like, nope. I choose safety in me. So what the fuck? What the fuck? So much for being a fucking oracle. So much for being a wise goddamn Baba Yaga. So much. This is just so raw vulnerability. Because I don't have the answers right now. I'm looking at these stunning, enormous bald eagles floating over my river that I love, that I talk to, that I pray at, that I scream at under the moonlight, under the daylight. I have seen her in sunrise and sunset. I walk next to her and speak my prayers, but I am here with no answers. Just forest and trees, eagles and river. Sacred Rage is about understanding your power, embracing it, standing in it, directing it because you have called it to you. There is a lot of intrinsic power that we unleash in our rage. Joy releases healing sunshine, so does laughter. sorrow and melancholy can be like a slow poison. Rage, like fire. We have to move through our emotions with more control than wild abandon, which is sometimes my inclination. Last night I was told to look in who I was previously. And I'm like, I'm going to need some clearer. I'm dumb and I need better instructions. Because I was like, what do you mean? Who I've been as like this lifetime or who I've been in past lives? Because I've certainly seen some shit in my past lives that gives some interesting implications. I would like clarity. And then I get 8 cards of fuck you. I don't know what I wanted to see. But urgency wasn't really on my list. I've complained every time I've gotten fucking be patient. And now it's move swiftly. You must be swift as a coursing river. And I don't know what the fuck to do. Walking around clueless, and I'm sure all of my spirit guides are face palming like, man, this one is thick. A bitch out here trying. I almost died in this river once. And someone who hurt me really bad, I think, might have died in it. And I come here because there's just something very spiritual. It's the 3rd largest river in the world. She roars. And I was 15 years old and the river wouldn't give me up. Wouldn't let me check out. I should have been a little icicle. I was in frozen February chilled water for an hour. I don't know how I have toes. And the river said no. I shouldn't have made it out of that. And I have a healthy respect for her currents and all of the life she supports. And I stand here in front of her and I don't have a fucking clue. I pray what I always pray. I pray protection and safety. There's a falcon. That's a falcon. It's just me and a bunch of old people bird watching at the park. I pray what I always pray. I pray protection and blessing and safety. There's the falcon again. It's beautiful. I'm slowly but surely getting... I'm pretty sure that's a falcon. And now I don't know. Now I'm doubting myself. Seagulls aren't typically brown like that. I'm looking at a lot of the seagulls and I can pick out the bald eagles really well because their white heads and giant black wings stand out. They're so much bigger than the seagulls. And then there's turkey vultures. And I know I saw a falcon the first time. The second time, I had my doubts. The first time, I'm for sure, that was a Merlin falcon. I've seen them other places. I've learned to recognize them. But the second time, it was farther away. I love the birds. My house is surrounded by so many. I have a flock of grackles and ravens and crows. Merlin falcons, barn owls, other owls. Woodpeckers, robins, cardinals, so many. Starlings and little songbirds, bigger birds of prey, hawks, all in surrounding my yard, and I love it. This year, a fledgling crow flew into the window of the van that I'm currently in. It was waterlogged and raining, and my husband, for some reason, had the windows down, and this fledgling crow fell into his lap, and he was so surprised, and he pulls over and he takes it and he walks home with it because he was very close to home, only like a block or two away. And he comes to the door and there's this just waterlogged thing in his arms, and he let me take pictures and had the bluest eyes. So we took it to the vet. And that was the first time I saw her this year. And it had beautiful blue eyes and it was completely all right. It just had gotten waterlogged in the rain and was scared to fly. It stayed so calmly in my husband's arms, and he's so good at being gentle. And we've been trying to befriend the crows. So it was really cool that this baby just knew there would be safety in this boat. Boat on wheels. And after we got it checked out at the vet, we brought it back to where it was close to home. And it was okay. I love birds. I have a healthy don't fuck with them. Like, I don't mess with geese or swans. If you've ever looked inside of a goose's mouth, it's fucking terrifying. They have teeth on their tongues. They are violent birds. There is a park that I do love to take my children to about 45 minutes from our house, where my kids can see ducklings and goslings fairly close. And the kids have good boundaries, so you can get close to them without setting them off. And, the geese don't attack. They don't go off at anybody. And the kids keep a reasonable distance. But still, you don't try a goose. You don't fuck up. The goose will make you, they will lose their cookies at you, and they will fuck up your day. Thank you for coming to my goose talk. When I was a kid, my grandmother's favorite story she would tell me is about being out on the farm and the goose chasing her because she prodded the goose, or she'd have to go feed the chickens, and she hated to feed the chickens or go get the eggs because the goose would chase her around and bite her on the butt. And it was a mean, mean goose. And she really loved it when they finally butchered it. And she liked that they finally got to eat the mean goose. Those were the stories that I grew up on. I can feel all these stories and feel connections, but I can't put them together and see the wider picture yet. I just can't. But I can embrace that this unknowing leaves me frustrated and try to channel that frustration somewhere into something. I'm trying, at least. Sometimes I think that we are too emotionally close to things to really put them together, because our emotions create a bias that we can't take that filter off. I've been sitting here for 2 goddamn hours contemplating, and I got butt kiss for it. As a child, I prayed to be wise, and as a 30-year-old adult, that seems like such an irony. I grew up heavily Christian, so I had all these manifestations that were Christianized, but my mother wanted me to have specific spiritual goals, so I read about Solomon, and Solomon said that wisdom was the most precious thing. Wisdom was what you should seek. That will gain you everything. So I would pray and pray and tell my mother that I just wanted to be wise, and that was her entire parenting, like, theme. When I'm doing something that my mother disagrees with, she will look at me and go, "Hannah, this is not wisdom." It's her favorite reproof. She's full of gems. One of my favorites from my mother is, "Let whirling dervishes whirl." And I'm like, that's great, except for when I'm the whirling dervish. I can hear a crow calling, and it sounds mocking. Yep, mocking. Not supportive. Oh, cool. A dude parked in my blind spot. Love that for me. There's an entire empty parking lot, but he parked in my blind spot. Which I love that for me. Is it a metaphor for the fact that I'll know something's there, but I can't fucking see it? It's fun. It's fun, guys. It's fun. It's great. I enjoy all of this. I would drink the ocean dry. I would swim the Mississippi wide. If I could just figure out what the fuck to do. Spirit's like, enjoy the journey. Maybe take a look around while you're being lost. And I'm like, fuck you. I would like, yep, this path I'm on is real fucking scenic, guys. Love the birds. Still was kind of hoping to get through it now that it's been this long. I'm getting a little bit tired, friends. That's the other part of the demonic sermon. Because eventually I'll round out to a point, right? See, this year has been a study of joy and sorrows. We have had some of the highest highs, and I have felt some of the lowest lows. And my marriage has been the best it's ever been. And my family unit has been really abundantly safe and beautiful and healing and lovely. And I have been personally an emotional fucking wreck. And part of that was because my mental health meds stopped working because I was vaping this year, exclusively tobacco products, and it rendered my mental health medication ineffective, and I had a really hard time with that. I have complex trauma and autism and mood disorders and all this kind of shit that my medicine helps even me the fuck out. So when I don't have it, it's not great. And so I had to really dive in deep this year. And holding sorrow and joy in both hands. And I'm very grateful for all of the good. And I'm trying to be grateful for the bad because it builds character. Tell that to my children. Adversity builds character. But I'm getting a little tired of building my character. Perhaps I do not have the fortitude to be a sage. I might be too soft for this. Because, man, trying to put all this shit down, and I don't know how, so I'm just, like, stuck with it, like, and I don't know how to do anything but whine, because, blech. I'm going to take this frustration. That's another falcon. I'm going to take this stress and rage and I can't get no satisfaction. This frustration and channel it somewhere. I don't know. I'm going to find a fucking candle or something. I'm going to try not to sit here and stew in it. I'm trying to try to do something the fuck with it. Because that's the only thing I know how to do anymore. You just keep going. Man, I might not get this right. I don't know. But I'm gonna fucking put it somewhere. I don't have any quit in me just yet. So I might as well figure out something to do with it. I have not yet begun to tire. That's the meditation. Anyway, thanks for hanging along for this ride. Another falcon. Maybe it's the same one just flying around here. I don't know. I'm not really keeping track. I don't know. Maybe that's something else. Now I'm, again, once again, doubting my bird identification skills when I see them from different angles. I can spot the bald eagles, the turkey vultures, but there's a couple that share, like, similar smallness. And if they're not real close, then I start to feel sketch. Thanks for staying for bird commentary. I guess I just thought you should know that I don't have everything down. I don't want to ever speak like I don't look at things and go, what? What the fuck? But I'm also embracing and being okay with the fact that I just don't know. And I'm probably not going to always get to see as far ahead of me as I want to see. This season 3 of Hannah coming up, I don't have a script ahead of time. The entire thing is ad-libbed. They just set me out in the world and put me in this character. And everything is off the cuff. I don't have to have all of the answers to just get through the day. I can still get through the day, even if I don't have all the pieces. Hindsight's 2020, so probably eventually I'll get it. I know I'm not walking alone. I can feel my beloved dead close. I know I'm not walking alone. Maybe we have some communication barriers, but I'm not out here by myself. Car in my blind spot lift. Ooh, I just saw a hawk fly right over me. I know that if I don't walk this alone. I can handle the whatever path that it is. If it's a labyrinth like this card shows, I know we can get through it. Because there's more than one mind. Because, you know, I'm only half a brain cell, but I got others. So I'll follow the bird song. Oh, Jesus. That was bad. Wow, that didn't come out. Damn. So I'll follow the bird song till I find my way back home. Oh, God damn. Oh, that was pitiful. So I'll follow the bird song till I find my way back home. I'll follow the bird song. They're singing now. I think his name is George Orwell. He has a song called Birdsong. It's fucking brings me to tears, but I'm going to stop butchering it and hurting your ears. Jesus. And it's another white pickup. To quote Cypher from Castlevania, see? God hates me. I haven't moved from this spot in exactly 2 hours, and when I got here, there was a white pickup, and now there's a white pickup. I even got a card reproofing me last night, telling me that I look awkward and ungainly. And I was like, literally, awkward and ungainly. I've never heard a more accurate description of me ever. And I was like, oh, ouch. And I feel completely awkward and ungainly at the moment. And fuck, what am I going to do about that? I guess take the rage, put it somewhere, turn this bitterness into something that isn't bitterness. Turn it into a fire I can do something with. All right, I'll stop rambling. Christ. Thanks for listening. So this is Hannah of Graveyard Gatherings. Thanks for being here. I'll see you at the next one. All of the extra music for my podcast is original music from my dad, Rex Stratton. And you would make his year if you gave any of his music a listen on YouTube or Spotify. Today's song is near and dear to my heart, one of my favorites. I picked it because I love it so much. Rollin' the Clover Rover from his first album, Santa at the Gulag. This has been Graveyard Gatherings. See you at the next one. All of the extra music for my podcast is my father, the great musician, Rex Stratton, and you can find him on Spotify, on YouTube, or wherever you get your music. Give him a listen. It'll make his year. Thanks so much. This is Hannah with Graveyard Gatherings.